shaking my head. It's the contradictions in you. You're obviously a man of intelligence, yet you behave like a barroom tough most of the time. He laughed.
What would you know about barroom toughs?
Just a little while ago you were ridiculing me in front of the crew.
Ah, that hurt your feelings, did it?
I just don't understand how you can do that and still invite me to share your feelings about exploring this planet. He clicked off the display, frowning.
We're not here to explore. We're here to find your brother's remains and go back to claim your father's prize money.
I must have blinked with surprise a half dozen times before I could find my voice again. But just now, only a few minutes ago, you said,
"Don't mistake dreams for reality," he snapped.
Then he seemed to relent slightly. "Someday, maybe," he murmured.
"Maybe someday I'll come back. But we've got to live through this mission first."
I shook my head. There was much more to this man than I had realized.
"As for my ragging you on the bridge," he said, "all I was doing was trying to save your life."
"Save my life?"
"The crew thinks you're my spy among them.
Thanks to you." He whisked a hand through the air as if brushing away an insect.
"Now they might have some doubts. I'll probably have to kick your butt a few more times to convince them."
"Wonderful," I thought.
"And I shouldn't invite you into my quarters, of course. That makes them really suspicious. So don't expect this kind of treatment anymore."
"I understand. I guess."
"Yes. I shouldn't have asked you in right now, but I just couldn't sit here alone watching the planet unfolding below us. I had to share it with somebody, and Marguerite's sleeping right now."
It wasn't until I was halfway up the passageway to the crew's quarters that I wondered how Fuchs knew Marguerite was asleep. Mutiny. That session with Fuchs brought home something important to me. I was supposed to be a planetary scientist, yet I had done precious little to live up to the claim. The instruments that I had put on board Hesperus to satisfy Professor Greenbaum and Mickey Cochran had done their work automatically. I hardly needed to look at them, much less do actual scientific work. And now even they were gone, and I was little more than a captive among Fuchs's crew. I mean, Alex came to Venus to find out how the planet had turned into a greenhouse hell. He wanted to determine what had happened on Venus to make it so different from Earth, and whether our own world might take the same disastrous turn. Sure, there was plenty of politics involved. The Greens trumpeted Alex's mission and were all set to use his findings to bolster their own pro-environment, anti-business programs. But beyond all that, Alex was genuinely interested in learning about Venus simply for the sake of knowledge. He truly was a scientist at heart. I know my brother, and I know that he was using the Greens, accepting their money for his mission to Venus as much as they were using him. And me? I had sworn to follow in Alex's footsteps, but I had done precious little about it. Here was Fuchs, of all people, embarrassing me with his passion about exploring the planet while I stood there like a tongue-tied dolt, a dilettante who was merely pretending to play at being a real scientist. No more, I swore to myself as I cleaned up the mess the crew had made of my bunk. I said not a word to them, and they watched me in silent hostility. As I tacked a ripped sheet onto the torn shoji screen, I told myself that I was going to find out as much about Venus as I could, and everyone and everything else could be damned as far as I was concerned. The trouble was that I didn't have any of the equipment we had carried aboard Hesperus. Still, Lucifer bore its own battery of sensors. I resolved to tap their data and begin a comprehensive investigation of the atmosphere. After all, we had an excellent profile from the sampling we had done. Marguerite had her airborne, metal-eating bacteria to study. I was going to learn everything I could about the Venusian atmosphere. And in a few days, when we finally reached the surface, I was determined to collect samples of those scorching hot rocks and bring them back to Earth. A fine and noble intention. But then my damned anemia began to gnaw at me again. I ignored the symptoms at first. Tiredness, shortness of breath, occasional dizzy spells. Forget them, I told myself. Concentrate on your work.
I tried to convince myself that I was merely working harder than normal, between my new duties learning about the pumping systems and my studies of the data Fuchs had accumulated on the Venusian atmosphere. But at heart I knew that my red cell count was sagging. Hour by hour I was growing worse. Marguerite noticed it. She had turned the sick bay into something of a biology lab, where she pored over the data she had amassed on the Venusian aerobacteria. She had not been able to bring any samples aboard when we had jumped the failing Hesperus, and Fuchs would not have allowed samples on his ship anyway, I knew.
"I'm trying to figure out what kind of container we could use to hold them," Marguerite told me, "so we can collect samples on our way back up and bring them to Earth."
The little display screen on the sickbay partition showed a chemical analysis of the aerobacteria's protoplasm, a senseless hash of chemical symbols and numbers as far as I was concerned. She was biting her lower lip as she studied the screen.
"If only I'd had the time to do a DNA workup," she murmured.
"Assuming they have DNA," I said. I was sitting on the table, legs dangling. The bay felt slightly chilly to me, but considering the hot atmosphere just on the other side of the hull, I felt no urge to complain.
"The Martian bacteria have helical structures in their nuclei. So do the lichen."
"And if the Venusian bacteria do too, does that prove that helical structures are a basic form for all living organisms? Or does it show that life on all three planets must have come from the same origin?" Marguerite looked at me with a respect in her eyes that I had never seen before.
"That's a very deep question," she said.
I tossed it off nonchalantly. "I'm a very deep fellow." Her gaze became more intent.
"You're also a very pale fellow. How have you been feeling?"
I started to put up a brave front, but instead heard myself say, "It's coming back."
"The anemia?"
"Yes."
"The transfusion didn't work then?"
"It worked fine for the past few days," I said. "But getting a transfusion of whole blood doesn't cure my anemia. My DNA doesn't make enough red blood cells to keep me alive." She looked terribly concerned.
"You'll need another transfusion then."
"How often can he give blood?" I wondered aloud. Marguerite cleared her display screen with the jab of a finger and called up a medical reference.
"No one can donate a half-liter of blood every few days, Van. We'd merely be killing the donor."
"He won't be that generous, believe me," I said. She looked up sharply at me.
"How do you know?"
I answered, "Fuchs has a much more active sense of self-preservation than that."
"Then why did he give you his own blood in the first place?"
"Because you said you'd accuse him of murder if he didn't, remember?"
"That's right, I did, didn't I?"
she said, with the hint of a rueful smile touching her lips.
"I had forgotten that."
"I don't think it would work again."
"It won't be necessary," she said.
"Why not?"
"He'll donate his blood voluntarily."
"Really?"
"Really,"
she said, with great certainty. "How can you be so sure?" I asked. She looked away from me.
"I know him better now. He's not the monster you think him to be."
"You know him better," I echoed.
"Yes, I do," she said defiantly.
"He's sleeping with you, isn't he?" I demanded. Marguerite said nothing. "Isn't he?"
"That's none of your business, Van."
"Isn't it? When you're going to bed with him to keep me alive? When you're doing this for my sake?" She looked truly stunned.
"For your sake? You still think I'd pop into bed with him for your sake?
Isn't that... I mean..." Marguerite's dark eyes held me like a vice.
"Van, don't you realize that what I do, what he does, even what you yourself do, is strictly for our own individual benefits? We're all trying to stay alive here, trying to make the best of what we've got to deal with."
Now I was completely confused. "But you and Fuchs," I stammered. "I thought..."
"Whatever you thought is wrong," Marguerite said firmly. "If I were you, I'd stick to the real problem. How to get enough blood transfusions from the captain to keep you alive without killing him."
I glared at her, feeling as hotly angry inside as the fiery red-glowing ground below us. "You don't have to worry about him," I growled. "He won't risk his neck for me, and he knows you can't accuse him of murder if giving me more transfusions will kill him." Before she could reply, I pushed past her, out of the sick bay, and up the passageway toward the observation center in the ship's nose. I never got that far. As I passed the open hatch of the crew's quarters, Sanja called out to me,
"Mr. Humphreys,
Come in here, please. He was the one crew member who had shown something more than suspicious hostility toward me.